An executioner, a murderous tiger, and a fraudulent doctor may seem unlikely protagonists for a series of love stories, but they're just a few of the unlikely romantic figures in Rajesh Parameswaran's I Am an Executioner love stories. Although this book, which is published by Knopf, is his first, his short stories have previously appeared in publications like McSweeney's, Granta, and the Best American Magazine Writing, and I'm very pleased to welcome Rajesh Parameswaran to our show today. Hello.
Hello, thank you. It's
and these stories seem to have a thread. Did you always intend for them to be put into a collection?
No, not at all. I just set out to write one story after another, and I think when I was writing that I was writing very different stories in subject matter. They range from tigers to aliens, but I think looking back retrospectively, I realized there was a thread running through them, which they could all be characterized as love stories.
Love stories and also stories in which there's danger and the kind of thing that you realize you have a lot of dreams along on certain themes and then you go see a shrink about them. you write short stories. Your title hints that this is not an ordinary collection of love stories. What were you hoping to suggest to potential readers by using it?
Well, the title, I Am an Executioner, comes from one of the stories, and I thought the juxtaposition of the title, I Am an Executioner, with the subtitle, Love Stories, captured both sides of the collection as well as some of the irony and the humor of the collection.
And you also let the reader know from the start that these stories will end with some sort of traumatic event. Most of your narrators know in the beginning of that their story is going to end badly. Were you working against the short story convention about usually waiting to reveal the twist till the end?
Not consciously, certainly. I hope that these stories are suspenseful, even if you know that something bad is happening. Sometimes that can, you know, enhance the anticipation. I would hope anyway. Mm-hmm.
You were an English major in college,
but then
you attended Yale Law to become a lawyer. Did you work as a lawyer?
Well, I never practiced law. I worked for a judge, and I've done freelance writing that was law related. I went just because I thought it was interesting, and one can't get a job writing fiction. One has to do other socially more useful things. And at the time, that seemed like a good thing to do.
But were you writing short stories all along?
Absolutely. I wouldn't say all along, but I started in earnest in law school, and I had friends there who were also writers. And
were you ever tempted to write stories based on the law, like John Grisham or Scott Turow? They sell very well.
Well, believe me, all of my relatives have asked me that. Not yet, but maybe one day.
But you did. You have had success. In fact, one of these stories, The Strange Career of Dr. Raju Gopalarajan, helped win McSweeney's a National Magazine Award in 2007.
It did. Thank you. Yeah.
So you had obviously committed to writing at that time. How were you supporting yourself? Still in law?
Well, I finished my judicial clerkship, I was doing law-related freelance writing and tried to simplify my life.
I've read enough legal writing to know that it has absolutely nothing to do with the sort of writing that any creative writer would want to be associated with.
I think maybe that's part of the appeal because it uses a different side of your brain and you're not sapping the same resources.
Now, many of these stories allude to your Indian background. Were you born in India? Because you have a totally American accent.
I was born in India but left as an infant and grew up in the United States.
And you have a story here called Demons, which is partly about what Indian families do on American Thanksgiving. The awkward inclusion of a roast turkey in a vegetarian household. Is that something that you experienced when you were a kid?
I mean, that particular scenario never happened. But I think the whole anxiety or ambivalence about what to do on certain holidays that, say, one's parents did not grow up celebrating was certainly there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's also an argument between a father and a son about which generation should represent the pilgrims versus the Indians. He says the kids are Americans, parents are Indians, but his son disagrees, saying, you were the immigrants, so you should be the pilgrims. We're the natives, so we should be Indians. did that ever happen?
No,
although there's the that whole matter of the word Indian, isn't there?
Right. I think that there's a play on words there. I never saw that scene transpire. I'm pretty sure I just invented it, but I liked the, it goes to a lot of the issues of identity and nationality that I was interested in at the time.
And the way other people see Indians in this country. There's a scene in the story where the husband of Savitri, the protagonist, is lying dead on the floor in a strange position. And when an American neighbor sees him, she just says he's doing yoga and is totally impressed by his Indianness.
Yeah, that's I think, again, a play on expectations and a rather broad joke that seemed funny at the time that I wrote it. That's one of the earlier stories. But
well, you have another story that's called The Four Rajeshes. You're also hinting at some autobiographical side to that story.
I think I was certainly hinting at it, or I would rather say playing with it, because it's certainly not an autobiographical story, but I wanted to play with the idea of autobiography and the idea of a writer trying to sort of negotiate writing something about his ancestors, of whom he really knows nothing. So it's not about my actual ancestors at all.
So it's about an imagining of the life of a great-great-grandfather, taking inspiration from a photo that had been found in a South Indian antiques market.
Correct, yeah.
How evocative are those photographs? I'm sure you've seen some of them.
I've certainly seen many an old photograph of, you know, men in turbans, and it's sort of the idea of looking at that and trying to invent a world and create a connection with the past.
But it's also about the writing process, isn't it? The man in the photograph is constantly arguing with you, the writer, over how you've chosen to tell his story.
Yes, yes, indeed. I think that was part of the. I think I had the idea of writing a straight sort of historical story, but I was just unable to do it because I was too aware of the gap between what I knew and what had happened. And so it was fun to imagine the photograph arguing back with me.
He's also upset when you end the story.
Right. Yeah.
Any questions, your reference to someone who he works with as a Bartleby, since he wouldn't have known that reference?
Right. Well, I think I, you know, was thinking a lot about Bartleby when I wrote the story, and so I, as the writer, had to put it in there over his objections.
My guest is Rajesh Paramaswaran. His collection of stories called I Am an Executioner Love Stories. The reader is, most of the protagonists of your stories are murderers or commit immoral acts of one sort or another, but they believe themselves to be misunderstood.
That seems accurate. Yes, I think that's probably true of a lot of people who do bad things. I don't think people often think of themselves as bad.
Well, not just people. Mm-hmm. The first story, the infamous Bengal Ming, is about a tiger whose love for humans results in him mauling them by accident.
Right. Well, that seems like something a tiger would genuinely do by accident, a tiger being a tiger. And I think that's what appealed to me about using a tiger, because they are what we would consider so violent. So how would a tiger express love for his zookeeper, for example?
Well, many of the characters don't seem to mean any harm, and their evil acts are just representative of the fact that they're doing what they have to survive, whether it is that tiger licking the blood off of his beloved caretaker, or Dr. Raju Gopalarajan losing his job at CompUSA and finding work as a fake doctor. Do you want the reader to feel sympathy for these characters?
I think I couldn't write a story about a character for whom I didn't feel sympathy, or for whom I didn't want the reader to feel sympathy. So yes, but that's not to say that the acts that they commit are, you know, forgivable or commendable or condonable.
Two of the stories are devoted to animals that have been forced to live in captivity, and the way that they communicate, there's that tiger. But also another one is about an elephant. Is that something, a person from India, where tigers and elephants are more prominent in the culture, would even be thinking about?
Well, I think there is maybe a subtle suggestion of India in the choice of those animals. But I think I chose to write about animals precisely because they freed me from having human associations or associations with particular you know, human cultures. It was sort of a liberating and fun thing to do.
And also thinking about just living in captivity.
Yeah, I think...
Other people think that it's perfectly fine to keep you in captivity, keep you in a cage.
Right. I thought captivity was... I think I had always found the situation of an animal in a zoo to be poignant and fascinating, but I also thought it was suggestive metaphorically and could be an interesting subject for a story for what it could suggest for humans.
Agents are constantly pressuring short story writers to write novels.
Well, not my agent, luckily. She's wonderful and she's fully in support of the short story form, but I am, in fact, working on a novel, so... If she did have that in the back of her mind, she can be relieved.
Well, there is a big difference, isn't there?
There is a big difference, and I think it's kind of an exhilarating difference. At least that's how I feel at the moment. Talk to me in 6 months. But it's nice to be very free and freewheeling and to let yourself go, whereas the short story form is so tightly constrained in many ways.
Yeah, you can be more discursive
exactly
in a novel and go off in all sorts of digressions as long as you don't have too many and Michiko Kakutani then slaps you on the wrist for doing that.
Right. I always have her image in the back of my mind with a ruler. No, I take that back. I'm sorry.
He loves you. He loves you, Michiko.
I do.
Meanwhile, what are you doing to survive? Can you live off of writing short stories?
At the moment, that's what I'm doing. I also do the freelance writing from time to time, and I've done various odd jobs. And I'll be doing a fellowship at the Radcliffe Institute at Harvard in the fall.
Rajesh Parameswaran's stories have appeared in McSweeney's Grant a Zoetrope, All Story, Five Chapters, and Fiction. And as I said earlier, The Strange Career of Dr. Raju Gopalarajan was one of three stories for which McSweeney's earned a National Magazine Award in 2007. And then it was reprinted in the Best American Magazine Writing of that year. Now it's part of a collection called I Am an Executioner, Love Stories, which is published by Knopf. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.